It's great to worship this morning. It's been a while since I was able to sing "As the Deer Pants." I forgot how rich of a song that is. Well, as I'm sure you realize by now, this morning we are honoring and celebrating Pastor Jan and Beverly as God's gift to CBC. How many of you here have received a visit from Pastor Jan at some point over the years? Okay, rather than raising your hand, why don't you just stand up, okay? Pastor Jan, you can look around. How many of you have had Pastor Jan visit a family member? So maybe you were not directly. Now, everybody stay standing. Okay. If you had a family member that was visited by Pastor Jan, please stand as well. Thank you. How many of you have had Pastor Jan minister to your family or your friends during the loss of a loved one? Somehow through the grieving process and a funeral, Pastor Jan ministered to your family or friends. Anybody else ministered in that way? Please stand. And fourthly, how many of you have been impacted by Pastor Jan's teaching? Whether it was in an ABF setting, small group setting, maybe in fourth or fifth grade. But at some point in time, you were blessed, challenged, and encouraged by Pastor Jan's teaching. Please stand. A few other individuals. And the last one is a catch-all. If you've been impacted by Pastor Jan and Beverly in some way, shape, or form, please stand as well. Okay. Isn't that awesome? Look around. Let's thank the Lord. You may be seated. As we think of how God has used Pastor Jan to touch lives, I have this wrench up here. Now this is, yes. If anybody gets out of line or falls asleep, we got a hammer. This represents Pastor Jan. Or sometimes this. Pastor Jan is simply an instrument or a tool in the hand of God. Nothing more, nothing less. And here's the good news. Each one of us has the opportunity to be a tool, to be an instrument in the hand of God as well. Each one of you have the opportunity to touch and impact lives by being a tool in the hand of the living God. Also, I want to emphasize that you don't need to be a pastor. God was using Pastor Jan long before he was a pastor. You also don't have to have your life all together. Pastor Jan will be the first one to tell you that he struggles with the sin nature as much as any one of us in this room. God desires to use us to be instruments in his hands to touch lives. And quite honestly, there's individuals in your lives, your family, your friends, co-workers, that Pastor Jan or myself or another pastor will never be able to touch or to reach. But because you have relationships with those individuals, you have the opportunity to be instruments in the hand of God to touch lives, to make a difference for eternity. This morning I want to look at four commitments that we need to make that will help us to be tools that God can use. I want to encourage you to follow along in the handout this morning for the sake of time and for the sake of utilizing various passages of Scripture. I've included them on the handout. You also notice that I have three commitments here, and so I'm going to add a fourth one at the end as well. But commitments that you and I need to make so that we can be instruments, so that we can be tools in the hand of God. The first is a commitment to the Word of God. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." See what the Apostle Paul says? Watch your life and watch your doctrine closely. Most of us understand the phrase, watch your life. Watch how you live. Live in such a way that is honoring and pleasing to God. Make choices that are honoring and pleasing to God. Watch your life. But what about watch your doctrine closely? Doctrine isn't necessarily a word that most of us use in everyday vocabulary. What is meant by doctrine? Very simply, it means your belief. Watch your beliefs closely. Why is it important to not only watch your life, but pay close attention to what you believe? Because what we believe determines how we live. What you and I believe about God determines how we live. If you or I even believe that there is a God or isn't a God, that belief will impact the way we live. If we believe that God is simply loving and caring, that he doesn't judge, that he's not full of wrath, that he's not holy, that will impact the way we believe, what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about a lot of things impacts the way we live. And so the Apostle Paul says, watch your life and watch your doctrine closely. Pastor Jan is a man who is committed to the Word of God and is committed to making sure that our doctrines, that our beliefs align with the Word of God. Because out of our beliefs, we live. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Pastor Jan is very passionate and committed to making sure that he is correctly handling the word of God. In a day and age where the Bible is twisted and misconstrued to say what people want it to say, it's a blessing to have someone among us who makes sure the Word of God is being interpreted properly. When Pastor Jan sits down to study the Word for himself, he's concerned that he handles it properly, that he's getting the correct interpretation. Even before Pastor Jan was on staff here at CBC, he was very concerned that the Word of God is handled properly throughout Community Bible Church, whether it's in an ABF setting, whether it's a small group setting. It's a blessing to have someone like Pastor Jan who's helping to guard the doctrine and the truth of the Scriptures. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When I read this verse, I think of Pastor Jan. Pastor Jan's ministry flows from his ability to use the Word of God to teach, to rebuke, to correct, and to train. When Pastor Jan ministers, it's not based on his own wisdom or his own ideas, but it's derived from the Word of God. Pastor Jan has great convictions about the Scripture. When he teaches, his intent, his desire, his heart is not to be offensive in what he teaches. But on the other hand, he's not going to back away from teaching, correcting, and training from the Word of God, even if someone else might find it offensive. Pastor Jan is an instrument, is a tool in the hand of God that God can use because he is committed to the Word of God. You and I can be instruments, can be tools in the hand of God. But we need to be committed to the Word of God. People don't need simply our ideas, our thoughts, our perspectives. People need to understand God's thoughts and God's perspectives. And so to be individuals that God can use to impact and touch lives for eternity, we need to be committed to the Word of God. Here again, I don't want you to think, oh, I don't know enough about the Bible. God can't use me. It's not as much about how much you know. but it's about you being committed to what you know. It's about you and I be committed to growing in our understanding of the Word of God. As we think about our beliefs related to our actions, most of us here at Community Bible Church would say that the Word of God is very important to us, that we're committed to it. But let me ask you, how much time have you spent in the Word of God this past week, in the past month? Are you committed to the Word of God? The second commitment that we want to look at that I see reflected in Pastor Jan's life is a commitment to and a dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Most people who know Pastor Jan quickly come to appreciate his commitment to the Word of God. But as I have worked with Pastor Jan over the past few years, I have realized that a key to his impact on people's lives is his reliance and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jan often shares with me divine appointments. That's a phrase that Pastor Jan uses to describe what happens throughout his days. That God, through the Holy Spirit, will orchestrate divine appointments. That he will have a conversation with someone, and he will walk away from that conversation, and he will know that it was God that orchestrated their paths, that brought them together. Pastor Jan is a man who is committed to dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Look in your notes there at John chapter 16, verse 7. This is what Jesus says. But I tell you the truth, and he was speaking to his disciples, to those who follow him. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, referring to the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who needs to lead us. Pastor Jan is able to touch and impact lives because he is dependent upon the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit come together in Pastor Jan's life. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to John chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Verse 5 is highlighted in your handout. But I would like us to take us the time to look at verses 1 through 5, John chapter 15, the analogy of the vine and the branches. As I read this passage, listen to the phrase that you see and you hear over and over again. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What is the phrase that we see throughout this passage? The NIV translates it, remain in me. Some translations translate it, abide in me, abide in Christ, remain in Christ. What happens if we remain in Christ, if we abide in Christ? What is the result? Christ says, you will bear much fruit. How do we define fruit? We can define fruit in two main categories. One is the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. As you and I abide in Christ, remain in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, is what the Holy Spirit will produce in our life. That's the fruit that will flow from our lives. It's not our job to produce that. Our job is to remain in Christ, abide in Christ, so that his fruit can be produced in us. Fruit is also a description of the impact that we can have on the lives around us. Our lives can produce fruit in that we can be used by God to see others come to Christ, others grow in Christ, that our lives can make an eternal impact in someone else's life. Our focus is not to bear fruit. Our focus needs to be to remain in Christ, to abide in Christ, And the outcome will be that God will be able to produce fruit in our lives. Too often, I think we get it backwards. And we focus when making a difference, bearing fruit. And our responsibility is to remain in Christ, to abide in Christ. Now, some of you might be saying, Jeff, I thought we're talking about depending upon the Holy Spirit. But how does someone remain in Christ and abide in Christ? It's through depending upon the Holy Spirit. As we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit, as we respond with the Holy Spirit, we become one with God. The Holy Spirit is God. It's how we remain in Christ, through a dependence upon the Spirit's work in our lives. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn back to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. We're actually going to look at Mark 1, 32-35. If you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. Just look there in the handout. Mark 1:35 is listed. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus says over and over again, I am here to do the will of my Father. Think about it. Jesus didn't heal everybody he came in contact with. He had to be in tune with the Father's will. Matthew 1:35 says this, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Let's take a look at the context. Verse 32. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all of the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Here we see that Jesus gets up very early in the morning, goes off to a solitary place to what? Pray, to commune with his Father. And we also know that he was up late after sunset. The whole village, the whole town was outside his door. There was people that were hurting that needed to be ministered to. And yet Jesus prioritized communing, abiding, relating to his Heavenly Father, taking instructions from his Heavenly Father. Pastor Jan is a man who gets up early, spends time communing with God in his word, praying to God, listening to God, remaining and abiding in Christ, getting his instructions for the day. As a visitation pastor, Pastor Jan's days aren't laid out. Real nice appointments. He never knows when he's going to get a phone call. As Pastor Jan navigates through his day, he abides in Christ. He depends upon the Holy Spirit. Commitment number two, if you and I want to be instruments that God can use, we need to depend upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Commitment number three is to the broken and hurting. Follow along in the back of your handout. Look with me at Matthew chapter 9, 35-36. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Pastor Jan reflects the heart of God in that he cares for those who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was filled with compassion as he traveled the countryside, preaching and healing. Jan is burdened for those who have struggles, whether it's because of a disability, whether it's because of past abuse, whether it's because of a physical illness. Pastor Jan is committed to helping those who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion, the heart of God, flows from Pastor Jan's life. People can sense it. People can feel it. When Pastor Jan comes to visit you in the hospital, you know it's not just because it's his job. It doesn't have anything to do with it being his job. It's because he cares for those that are hurting, whether it be physical or emotional pain. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 10-13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Here we see that Jesus prioritized spending time with sinners, those who knew they weren't righteous, those who were not yet followers of Christ. I love what Jesus said when he said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Those who understood that they were sinners. The Pharisees were the self-righteous. They didn't need a doctor. Christ said, "I have come for those who knew they needed a doctor." Pastor Jan has a heart for those who are spiritually lost, for those who have not yet come to the point where they have accepted the free gift of salvation through Christ. Pastor Jan finds great joy in sharing the good news of the gospel to those, especially who are hurting and broken. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," the words of Jesus, "because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So what did Jesus Christ come for? He came to preach good news, the good news of the gospel. Proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recover sight for the blind, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that Christ has left, guess who he's using to do these things? You and me. Pastor Jan. Pastor Jan is an instrument in God's hand to preach good news, to proclaim freedom, freedom in Christ, to recover sight for the blind, to help people who are spiritually blinded to see, to release the oppressed, those who are in bondage by the powers of darkness. Pastor Jan has God's heart for the broken and hurting, which is why he's able to be God's instrument to minister to and to touch the lives who are weary, downcast, and want to give up. You see, when you're an instrument in the hand of God, you need to reflect the heart of God. The fourth commitment isn't in your notes, but it's a fourth commitment that is very clear in Pastor Jan's life. And it is a commitment to the gospel. For those of you who have ever seen an email from Pastor Jan, you will recognize what is at the bottom, how he signs off on every single one of those emails. In fact, we have it here. Here's what it says: "In Christ, for Christ, Jan A. Gingrich." And here's the gospel. I love the way the gospel is articulated in these three phrases. God formed us. God created us. God loves us. God desires to have a relationship with us. Sin deformed us, but Christ transforms us. That's the gospel message. Have you been and are you being transformed? Everybody who receives an email from Pastor Jan hears the gospel. Pastor Jan believes with all of his heart the gospel is what every individual needs. God formed us. God loves us. Sin has deformed us. The depravity of man, the selfish, egotistical heart destroys us. But Christ came to redeem us, to restore us, to transform us from the inside out. Let me just take a little side tangent, but it directly applies. How many of you will be glad when Tuesday is behind us? Okay, all of us, okay? We're tired of hearing about it. Let me say, each of us needs to vote for the candidate that we believe most closely upholds the scriptures and the values and the morals that are reflected in scripture. But our hope can never be in a political party or a political person. Why? Because the gospel is the only thing that can transform depraved hearts. Do you believe that? Are you committed to that? Pastor Jan could spend the rest of the afternoon telling you stories of lives that have been transformed by the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation for all those who believe." If you and I are going to be instruments to be used in the hand of God, we need to be committed to the gospel message. So let me review. Pastor Jan is an instrument in the hand of God. Nothing more, nothing less. God has been able to use Pastor Jan to be an instrument to touch and to impact hundreds of lives. Each one of us has the opportunity to touch and impact lives, to be instruments in the hand of the living God. And as we align ourselves, as we are committed to God's Word, as we are committed to depending upon the Holy Spirit, as we're committed to ministering and reaching out to those who are less fortunate, reflecting God's heart, as we are committed to the gospel, God is going to be able to use us as a corporate body to touch and to impact lives and to impact this community. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I know we've mentioned Pastor Jan's name a lot, but this morning is really about you and how you are blessing us and you have ministered to us through Pastor Jan. Lord, we thank you for his example. We thank you for an example of someone who watches his life and doctrine closely. We thank you for the example of an instrument that you can use to touch and to impact and to influence lives. Lord, we pray that you would help each one of us to align ourselves and to reflect the commitments to your word, to your Holy Spirit, to those in need, and certainly to the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.